It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Sean Munson. Some monkeys who have spent their lives in research labs may now have a chance to retire in Wisconsin. We talk with the founder of Primates Incorporated, Wisconsin's only monkey retirement sanctuary, and one of nine in the United States, about the benefits of retiring lab animals and the unique challenges they face. What questions do you have about the treatment of lab animals? Did you know retirement was even an option for them? And do you think this is something we should be prioritizing? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Amy Kerwin is the founder and executive director of Primates Incorporated, a retirement sanctuary for former lab monkeys. Amy, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on today.
So we don't hear about monkey retirement very often. Where are these, or what are these monkeys retiring from?
Well, there's approximately 110,000 monkeys living in labs nationwide, and a lot of them are at universities and also contract testing firms. So they're tested on for the private industry and also federal grants for a variety of reasons because they are so close to us genetically.
Mm-hmm. So what reasons would there be to retire a monkey?
Well, I used to work in a laboratory with 97 rhesus monkeys, and they're actually, like I mentioned, really quite similar to us. And as a researcher or animal care staff, you tend to grow close to them. And so when the study concludes, they're not always terminal studies, and the monkeys aren't always reused. So instead of euthanizing them, more and more researchers are wanting to give back by sending them to a sanctuary whenever possible.
How long, what's the life expectancy of a rhesus monkey? How long do they normally live?
They can live to 35, 40 years old in captivity, and so there's continuation studies where the monkey is reused until their adulthood, or there's acute studies where they're used just for a few years and then sold to another study. So at Primates Incorporated, we just say when the opportunity exists, the very least we can do is be giving back to these monkeys when possible.
So if a lab doesn't choose to retire their research animals or sell them to another research project, what other options are there? And is there agreement in the industry about what should happen?
Well, the lab could choose to put them down because they have to pay a daily per diem for the monkey, or they could choose to, like I said, resell them. But if that's not the case, they could keep them on as actually breeders. So there's really not much of a motivation to retire because sanctuaries are actually asking for funding because caring for monkeys is very costly with the professional care. And so because there is disagreement amongst laboratories, the lab I worked in didn't believe in retiring the monkeys. But what I learned from networking with other laboratories was some labs had protocols in place to retire. And then I heard of primate sanctuaries actually turning away these labs wanting to retire because the sanctuaries were near capacity and couldn't do that. And that was 15 years ago. And so while locally labs were saying, there's no need for a monkey sanctuary, we reuse our monkeys or all our studies are terminal, there were actually a great need to retire the monkeys nationwide. And when I saw rejection happening, that made me resign from my laboratory and work with other laboratories who were already retiring monkeys. And then I decided to go to business school instead of my aspirations of veterinary school so that I could form a flatly run nonprofit organization that would involve the community in giving back to these monkeys because the issue is far bigger than myself.
So that's what motivated you to open Wisconsin's first monkey retirement sanctuary then. How long has the sanctuary been operating?
Well, we became a nonprofit in 2004, actually. I mean, you know, very long time ago, but after many years of outreach, networking, involving volunteers and fundraising, we finally broke ground in 2016 to where we got our building built, and we were able to take in three monkeys of January 25th of 2018 this year, and then we were able to accommodate two more monkeys in May. And then we've now just recently created a waiting list. Now we were talking about laboratory monkeys, but there is the pet industry, and a lot of people buy pet monkeys and then they wind up sending them to sanctuaries because they're too much to handle. And how that relates is they leave less room at sanctuaries for the research monkeys. And so we've actually created a waiting list to accommodate two pet monkeys this year. And I've had to turn away 18 monkeys because we're still completing our facility and we need to expand to accommodate the demand.
We're talking with Amy Kerwin, the founder and executive director of Primates Incorporated, a retirement sanctuary for former lab monkeys. Wondering what you think about this. What questions do you have about how lab animals are treated? Did you know that retirement was even an option for these lab monkeys? Do you think this is something we should be prioritizing? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. These monkeys were born in captivity for the purpose of testing. How does that impact their behaviors and personalities?
Well, the minimum guidelines for a rhesus monkey is 4.3 square feet by 2.5 feet high. And they're typically group housed after 6 months after they're weaned from their mother. And then they're put into groups and then they're put into pairs. So there is an attempt to socialize them and give them enrichment while they are in their minimum guidelines. But I always felt as a researcher that these minimum guidelines are inadequate for these intelligent beings. And so, of course, there is some abnormal behavior, pacing, finger biting, back flipping to be able to adjust to the inadequate environment. And now, like I said, researchers care about their animals, and so they provide them with enrichment and feed once or twice a day. So there's minimum accommodations. But then what we've seen after they arrive to the sanctuary, given space, enrichment, we have a primatologist assessing behavior. We've really seen a trend, a decrease in abnormal behavior, which is what we want, by providing the socialization, foraging opportunities. And then we have innovative greenhouse environments that they'll be able to travel to in the wintertime. And what I'm really excited about is that we can analyze the behavior. And what we did was we looked up the way rhesus monkeys live in India, and we studied their wild profile. And so to be able to effectively evaluate the rehabilitation, we start with their behavior at the sanctuary, and then we look at it over time and adapt it to how they would live in the wild.
We're talking with Amy Kerwin, founder and executive director of Primates Incorporated, a retirement sanctuary for former lab monkeys. We will continue our conversation on this topic. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay tuned. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're learning how lab monkeys can retire to a sanctuary in Wisconsin from Amy Kerwin, the founder and executive director of Primates Incorporated, a retirement sanctuary for former lab monkeys. Do you think we should be testing on animals for medical research? How do you think we should balance the animal's quality of life with our need for research. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Amy Kerwin is the founder and executive director of Primates Incorporated, a retirement sanctuary for former lab monkeys, and she is with us this morning. So what impact does retiring lab animals have on the human researchers?
Well, it's the ultimate ethical compromise in my mind. It allows them to give back to the monkeys afterwards, and they do grow close to them. So each time I speak with a researcher, I ask them, you know, did it improve your morale? And do you think it would improve employee retention? And they say yes every time. So I do this by case by case by interview, because there's not much in the literature about it. But it can be discouraged in the lab as well. So that can be frustrating, especially if they label primate retirement as this animal rights labeling to divide us, when if it's happening in other labs, animal rights labeling shouldn't have anything to do with it.
So the sanctuary facility was constructed for the purpose of retiring lab monkeys. When you were designing the structures, what factors did you take into account?
Well, I toured the various sanctuaries around the U.S., as many as I could, and other volunteers for us toured the other ones. And what we did was we took notes on all the great things they were doing. And what I learned a long time ago is there's more than one correct way to do something. And so what we did was we took the top aspects from every facility, and we wanted to establish here in Wisconsin, because there is such a need for primate retirement that I believe there should be a monkey sanctuary built in every state. It doesn't matter the climate. You can build them with greenhouses. You can build it spaciously. There's two sanctuaries in Canada. There's one in Washington. And so what we did was we worked with growing domes, growing spaces, and we built these two geodesic domes that will have vegetation during the winter time. And we're still working on completion, but they will have walkways to the indoor housing. And then these monkeys will be able to travel between two enclosures over the winter. And then in the summer, they have the outdoor enclosures, so they'll be able to have three enclosures to travel between. So we're excited about that.
Amy Kerwin is the founder and executive director of Primates Incorporated, a retirement sanctuary for former lab monkeys. We're talking about this project this morning on The Morning Show. Talk about the benefits of having a facility that mimics natural habitat for the animals.
Yes, well, it's amazing to see, like I mentioned, their abnormal behaviors decreasing and then the foraging increasing. And kind of the nice thing about our analyzing everything is what we learned in the morning while we're preparing produce for the monkeys, they get anxious. And what I saw at the lab too, when we brought food in the room, was one monkey would bite his finger in anticipation. It really reminded me of a human, like excited to eat and come on, let's get eating here. So what we noticed was River was pacing when he was waiting for food, walking in circles, and then Mars would get upset and bite his arm, actually, which is a very disturbing abnormal behavior to see, but he doesn't break the skin. At any rate, that was out of anxiety for wanting to eat. And so what we did was, as soon as we get there in the morning, we scatter out bird seed and dried banana chips, nuts, throughout their enclosures and in front of them, so they're happily foraging while we prep their produce, and so we don't see any abnormal behavior in the morning. And so we will be writing about that and many other things, and sharing with the public, involving people at our sanctuary for volunteering in primate behavior and primate care.
So tell us again, how many monkeys are retired at Primates Incorporated right now?
We have five total right now, with two on a waiting list.
And when you complete your facility, what's the capacity going to be? How many monkeys will you be able to accommodate once you get everything done?
Well, it depends on the ones coming in, if they're social housed or not. What I'm excited about also is our primatologists assessed behavior this summer, and we were able to pair River with Batman and Timon, who arrived. So that created a trio and opened up a space for us to create our waiting list for these two. So this first indoor-outdoor complex that we have costs $300,000, and it can only house up to 20 monkeys. Yes, but we will build four more complexes over the next 10 years so that we can help up to 100 monkeys. And we're willing to share our knowledge and expertise with anyone who wants to set up a primate sanctuary so that one can be set up in any state so no monkeys ever turned away from retirement ever again.
How is a retirement sanctuary different from a zoo or other examples of animals in captivity?
Well, I had actually tried to collaborate with the zoos or ask some questions years ago because I felt like they had the funding to maybe help the monkeys from research. But like I said, the monkeys come with abnormal behavior, and honestly, no zoo's going to want to show for plucking rhesus to the public. But that doesn't matter. I mean, the point is they deserve rehabilitation, and then they deserve peace and quiet, and deserve what they want to do what they want to do. And so we basically have a strict routine for them so they're not surprised, except the one surprises they like are getting enrichment and tearing open the bag to see what's inside. But really, we try to keep their surprises limited. And then so when we allow visitors in the spring, we're only going to allow up to 10 people a week to visit. So we'll be done with our facility by then. But that will be, you know, to share knowledge, for transparency, to show respect to the animals. And then we always have our ongoing volunteer opportunities where you can volunteer on the land at the sanctuary and then help me in fundraising too. That's my primary role. And we have a professional staff of 5 people up there at the sanctuary ready to train anyone who wants to learn. So
you've used the term enrichment a few times. What does that mean in this context?
Yes, we've got an enrichment schedule, actually, where the monkeys get something different every day, and they also always get scatter forage in the morning. They get foraging tubs, which is wood chips and then a trail mix, forage and dried fruit, and then they pick through that all day, which is a great form. Then we have frozen fruit. Actually, you can throw big pieces of fruit on top of their enclosure. And in the morning, they get a natural diet of their produce and some monkey chow, which is fortified. That's what they get in the lab. But we have a 50-50 diet, so they get 50% monkey chow, 50% produce. And then they get enrichment in the morning, enrichment in the afternoon, and then in the p.m. they get a giant salad with some fruit and more of their monkey chow. So they are always satisfied, have something to do. Even resting is a great behavior because it's not abnormal behavior. They do spend some of their time, you know, resting and laying down, and it's great to see them relaxing. Mars, he's a singly housed monkey, and we provide him with extra enrichment until he finds his future mate. He's a dominant male monkey. But he likes to be groomed, so how the staff safely grooms him when he comes up front, we have a back scratcher that we can put through the enclosure and scratch him, and he lays down and presents for us to groom him. And so that's really part of it, is giving the monkeys what they want. If they want to be groomed, they can. If they want to rest and be away from you, they can. They have mirrors that they watch us all what we're doing. It's really great to see.
So where can listeners go if they are interested in learning more about your organization and how they can support it, if that's what they would like to do?
Well, our website is Primates Inc., primatesinc.com. And so you can sign up on our email list and view our sponsor monkey program, sponsor building program. It would be great to have your listeners involved in helping us because this is a great community effort, like I said.
And there are only 9 of these facilities in the country. What do we have to do to get more of them built, do you think?
There needs to be a team effort among laboratories to get funds established so that they can be provided when a researcher wants to retire their monkeys. It had been denied by funding institutions as non-essential funding sometimes. And so if laboratories could start to agree on retiring their monkeys and addressing this issue, that would be great.
Okay, Amy, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
Amy Kerwin is the founder and executive director of Primates Incorporated, a retirement sanctuary for former lab monkeys. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson.